Thanks for listening to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more in-depth teaching from the Book of Matthew or to submit your question, go to MacArthurCommentaries.com.
I'm Ruth Kramer with Mission Network News. The search for survivors continues today in Taiwan. The strongest earthquake in 25 years hit Taiwan yesterday during the morning rush hour, triggering tsunami warnings as far away as southern Japan. Thankfully, no deaths were recorded in Japan's Okinawa Prefecture as communities heeded the evacuation orders. A3 is helping Christian leaders deliver help and hope in the name of Jesus in Taiwan. Pray their efforts will be successful. And we told you about a partnership between Mission Cry and a music ministry last November. Jason Wolford with Mission Cry says that a shipping container sent through the partnership has arrived safely in Liberia. Churches, prisons, and Bible schools have received the Christian books, and a nearby school received a shipment of musical instruments. New containers are packed and ready to go, waiting for sponsors to send them. Pray protection for the Mission Cry team, and find your place in the story at missionnews.org. Thanks for listening to Mission Network News, a service of One Way Ministries. I'm Ruth Kramer.
YMCA of North Florida would like to invite you to come out to any of its 15 locations in Jacksonville. You'll experience fun and laughter while embracing a healthy lifestyle. Be greeted by friendly and attentive staff that's willing to help you with anything from childcare to senior citizen classes. Take advantage of their amenities like group fitness classes, nutritional consultations with registered dietitians, and state-of-the-art cardio and strength training equipment. For more information, visit firstcoastymca.org.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
And now, your Pathway Minute with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
You know, the single greatest objection to the idea that faith in Christ is the only way to heaven, the single greatest objection is the idea, well, if that's true, then that means relatively few people will be in heaven. And that's true. That's exactly what Jesus taught. He said the population of heaven will be relatively small compared to the population of hell. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it.
Pathway Minute is produced by Pathway to Victory. To access the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress, go to ptv.org.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running, commit liftoff.
Hey folks, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. It is Brad Sykes, normally alongside my good buddy Doug McCary. Doug is actually off today and hopefully enjoying the beautiful Northeast Florida weather that we're having today. It's Friday, April 5th. By the way, if you didn't catch Doug's interview with Nancy Piercy yesterday, I want to highly recommend that since SWAT Radio is a men's ministry. I thought rather interesting to have a woman come on and speak about masculinity, toxic masculinity. Boy, that's a buzzword in our culture, isn't it? I hope you will tune in throughout the broadcast today. I've got my good friend Brian Andrews in studio today. We're going to be kind of putting a bow around the text that we've been in all week. And if you've been tuned in, you know we are looking at Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. In fact, specifically, we've been looking at the fact that God reveals the destructive power of darkness. He reveals the life-giving power of the light. And God reveals two responses of man to the light. And we'll kind of work through that. And obviously, we've hit on each one of those topics for the last few days, and as always, Friday is our chance to kind of, just from a discipleship standpoint, what's it look like when we get together with another brother, or maybe you've got two women getting together? Either way, I think the context is we want people that tune in on Fridays to hear two just normal guys who are opening the Word of God. We're talking about what it says and the fact that God calls us to be obedient to the Word of God. This isn't simply a lesson on information and knowledge. It's information that leads to transformation. And with that said, Brian, brother, welcome back in the studio.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Looking forward to the discussion today. And happy Friday to everybody out there. Hope some of you will call in and discuss this lesson with us here.
Yeah. How's the traffic out there?
Oh, you know, I got behind the proverbial school bus after school bus. So, I should have gone the other way. How about that?
Oh, that's okay, man. That is okay. It's Friday afternoon. I mean, I kind of expected you might come in with a golf hat on or something.
Oh,
Were you not out playing golf
this morning?
You've already golfed. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, my word. You and David Gray, y'all are killing me.
and then you golf with us and you kill us.
So I would love to go do that. Yeah. I don't care whether you have a day like today. I got up this morning, left the house about 5:30 to go teach a study that we do on Friday mornings, which you've taught that study before.
Yeah.
And, I was thinking, looking at the weather, going, it's going to be a golf day, not for me.
No, not for you, but there's plenty of days ahead. So,
how did you hit it?
Consistency still seems to be the problem. So it's amazing how it all comes together, you know, in the end. But some highlights and some lowlights for sure. But with Masters coming up next week, we start getting it in our blood, right?
I am so excited about it. my wife informed me the other day, apparently, and I'll have to ask her about this. Maybe I can look it up on one of the breaks. Yeah. But you can actually order from Augusta pimento cheese, egg salad.
Really?
What is the other sandwich they do? Anyway, call in if you know what it is. But primarily pimento cheese and egg salad sandwiches.
Yeah.
You've been to the Masters, correct?
I have. I actually got one of those sort of backstage passes called Berkman's Place.
Oh, my word.
The nursery guy that named all the holes and everything. So a good Christian friend of mine, you know him, actually. A good Christian friend of mine was able to give me his ticket because his plus one, his wife couldn't go. And prime example of grace. I got something I didn't deserve. So it was a fabulous time. And that was the year Tiger won it, in fact.
Oh, well, what year was that? He's only won it like five times, I think.
I meant 5 years ago or four years ago. The recent one. Yeah.
Well, it is one of the most incredible play. Well, first of all, I've been to a lot of different sporting events, a number of Super Bowls, Final Four, which we have coming up here pretty soon.
Right.
But the Masters is still one of the highlight sporting events that I've ever been to. Now, you would naturally think, well, I like golf. I played golf. That would make sense. But even my wife says that would be the one sporting event she would want to go back and see. And I got the privilege of taking her.
Well, TV does it justice the best it can, but then how about the 3D, the rising the hills, the valleys, all that? When you're walking the course, it's much more pronounced,
yeah.
a much more difficult course than it may look at TV like a big flat carpet.
You know? No doubt about it. I mean, it's, the undulation on that course,
It's
pretty amazing. Here's one quick story. You'll appreciate this. And anybody that's ever been to the Masters, and no, we are not a sports broadcast. This is kind of our first, our first segment, just talking about what's going on. But this was probably in like 2001, somewhere around there.
Okay.
Anyway, we had gotten there. There had been rain the day before. I think it was a Wednesday, and there had been rain the day before. And we were walking. We'd walked the whole course, and it was just a gorgeous day.
Yeah.
And we were kind of winding down, and I told Vicky, I said, I just want to go back out one more time and walk just two or three more holes. So we're kind of sitting at the clubhouse.
Okay.
And if you know, 18 green is right there by the clubhouse.
Yes.
And 9 green is right there by the clubhouse. And then 10 goes kind of in between those two holes.
Yeah.
And so we decided, hey, let's walk down 10 and then we'll walk back up 18.
Okay.
And so we start walking down 10, and that's a pretty good little drop. When you start moving down 10 fairway. And there's not a lot of people on the golf course at this point because it's later in the evening.
Right.
And my wife goes, oh, my word. And she looks across the fairway over to number 18.
Okay.
And there's an older lady pushing her husband in a wheelchair up 18.
Oh, wow.
And there, she's just not able to do it.
Yeah.
And so naturally, I cross over the fairway.
Sure.
And decide I'm going to help this lady push her husband up. He was a rather heavy set guy in a wheelchair. And,
and I'm
surprised they even let a wheelchair out there.
Yes.
But I pushed that guy from the bottom of 18 all the way up.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, that was the hardest workout I've ever had in my life.
Oh, man. And she had no idea. And he,
I don't know how she ended up there.
How they got stranded there. Yeah. Sure.
But anyway, go to the Masters if you ever have a chance. It's it's heaven on earth to some extent.
Yeah. For golfers. Yeah.
For golfers. Well, even if you're not a golfer, it's absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal. Well, I don't know if you've, I know you, did you teach this text that we're looking at this week? I can't remember.
Well, I taught yesterday. I know that's next week's text.
Yeah, that we're that's next cover. Week. Yeah.
But I am familiar with it and find it fascinating. You're right. Yeah.
Well, before we take our first break, one of the things I'd like to do, by the way, just what's going on in the world today. Did you hear that there was a small 4.8 earthquake in New York City this morning?
I did. Yeah. And then the mayor's response and others were like, we got it under control, though. Like they have any control at all, right? It's okay. It's no big deal. Just go about your day. You're fine now.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, that we don't see many of those.
No, that's what I was thinking. It was
remember when D.C. got hit and we go, oh, we don't see many. And I think it rocked the Washington Monument a little bit.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I think we have a solar eclipse coming next week.
We do. Yeah.
You've been reading up on this?
No, I saw a little flash on it, but I saw the arc where it's going to hit Midwest, you know, Cincinnati, right through the middle of Tennessee. So the people are flocking there, I'm told, to try and stay in the, you know, line of sight so that they can experience it. And apparently when that occurs, you feel a temperature change very abruptly because of what happens. And then animals begin to behave differently. They know wildly something's going on.
Well, before I came here, my brother-in-law, Tim McKenzie, who you've met, shared a YouTube video with me. I need to send it to you.
Okay.
I don't even want to get into it. It's like, it's so far out there. I'm just in my head, just in light of the eclipses over the 7-year period, 2017, the last one we had, and then the one that we're going to have on the 8th of this month, and how the crisscross of them and what it says. Even about end times and things like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating.
Would like to look at that more. I did see something about a month ago about it and then just kind of skimmed it, you know, and wasn't sure. But they were connecting a lot of dots and maybe it's speculation, but, you know, there was some things that got my attention there.
It was so out there. I was like, okay, I got to come back and not rush through this. I really want to read up on it. But anyway, glad to have you in studio today.
Glad
and
to
again, we're going
to
be in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. I'm going to have, I think we're looking, you know, I think specifically we're looking at light and darkness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, this is a text, you know, many of us, and I'm sure you would be included in this. You've read this text, you know, dozens of times, if not taught from it before, and how easily we can skim the surface of a text like this and think we got it. And yet, as Doug taught it a couple of weeks ago, there were some things in it that just really got me.
Yeah.
And you realize,
sure.
I think, you know, coming off of Jesus in the boat crossing over to Decapolis. You know, he's got the disciples in the boat. They're heading across the Sea of Galilee, which you and I have both been on.
Yes, we have.
And you can certainly see how a storm could come up, which it did.
Yeah.
Jesus is sleeping in the boat. And
then if I might add to that, then the disciples recognize the, you know, then there was the storm after the calm, so to speak, when it's like, oh my gosh, we have God in our boat with us.
Totally.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
Now, this boat is heading to Gentile land.
That's right.
And that's what's interesting because that's part of God's plan. Here's where we're going. And so the Gentiles are getting a bite at this. And then, as we'll see, the man that was possessed is it becomes kind of an evangelist, mm-hmm. if you will, mm-hmm. and told, tell your story,
yeah.
in contrast yeah. to some yeah. of the, you know, silence your story in some of the spots in Israel.
Yeah. Well, think about the fear that they were gripped with, the disciples on the boat yes. in the middle of the storm.
Right.
So much so that they wake Jesus up and say, hey, yeah. don't you care? I mean, they're gripped in fear. We've all been there before.
Right, right.
But then when he, you know, silences the waves, quiets the waves, and stills the storm, whatever.
Yeah.
It's that fear, like, okay, I was scared earlier. Now,
yeah,
who is this guy?
Yes.
That's basically what they yes. say. Yeah. Who is this guy?
And we're going to see some Gentiles ask that same question, or their actions are going to demonstrate they're all wondering, aren't
they? Well, all this thing that pops up is the realization of who Jesus is.
Yes.
That he not only has power over the natural, mm-hmm. but he's got supernatural power over demons.
Right.
And we're going to see that here in this text. And again, familiar text where most of us are mm-hmm. somewhat familiar with. But again, we're going to look at the fact that God reveals the destructive power of darkness.
Right.
God reveals the life-giving power of the light. And then two responses of man to the light. And you've probably had the opportunity many times to share the gospel. There's a response to the gospel. And there's only two responses.
Yes.
And we'll kind of look at that, and we'll see the response by this particular person in this text. Glad you tuned in this afternoon. Brian Andrews and Brad Sykes coming to you live on this Friday afternoon. What is it, April 5th? Hard to believe.
Yeah, it is.
Glad you tuned in. If you want to call this afternoon, Fridays are kind of open, and you can call us anytime, 844-777-7928. That's 844-777-SWAT. You can also email me at brad@swatradio.com if you have a question or comment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen in Orange Park at 91.7.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. Son of God hanging on the hill, hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes along with Brian Andrews and little David Crowder coming in there. Glad you tuned in this afternoon. If you want to call this Friday afternoon, 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. Again, you can email us questions or comments. Send that to brad@swatradio.com, brad@swatradio.com. And Brian, just so we get right into the text, I'm going to have you read the passage. And then, you know, for those of you who may tune in regularly on Fridays, kind of the format we usually do here is are recapping what we've been teaching throughout the week, but we're trying to put some kind of meat on the bones a little bit, where the rubber meets the road. Okay, here's the doctrine, here's the theology, but orthodoxy without orthopraxy, it's not good. I mean, the idea is James tells us, don't merely be a hearer of the word. How does this apply to our life? So as we look at this text, and you and I, goodness, we can sit on the golf course and talk all sorts of good theological stuff. But
and we do sometimes.
We do that often.
It's
almost
so natural.
Almost every time. But one of the key things that we do whenever we're together is we want to know how our walk is doing. How's your life? How's your marriage? How's the family? All those things. Mm-hmm. And and I know you're newly retired, so I can't ask you how work is anymore. Now, retired is a loose term, obviously. Yeah, sure, I know there's no such thing as retirement. At the end of the day, what we want to know is, we look at the text, what does this say about God? What does this reveal about God's character, his nature? What are his attributes as we look at it? What's it say about man? And then what is it? How does this impact the way I live life? Mm-hmm. And those are three questions that should be obvious in almost every text we look at.
Absolutely. And let me start with some more context before I read the scripture here. The disciples have experienced, the storm, and before that, at least four of them being fishermen, all of them being very familiar with the water. They had a lot of self-reliance, and here this storm is beyond them. So they're desperate. Next week, we're going to see an example of two desperate people too. But they were desperate in their own environment because the waves were so big and everything else. And then Jesus demonstrates his authority over the forces of nature. So Mark has selectively, of course, given, and Peter has given him these examples. But just to sum it up real quick, Jesus is demonstrating in the past four chapters his rule over his kingdom, right? His kingdom is here. The rule over the religious leaders, over the Sabbath, which infuriates the religious leaders, over demons before, and we're going to see another example coming up, over nature, as he's just demonstrated here in the boat, over disease, healing of diseases, because they never had doctors, right? So there was no real true healing of disease. And today, we're going to see him, do some marvelous thing in this contrast of light and dark and satanic environment here. So here we begin with the Word of God, Mark 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs, in the mountains, and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do you have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountains. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission, and coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen ran away and reported it to the city in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion within him, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine, and they began to implore him to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, "Go home to your people and report it to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Here's the reading of the Word of God.
What a powerful text that is. So there's, you know, as I mentioned earlier, kind of the three things that we pulled out of this in our teaching this week is that God reveals the destructive power of darkness.
Yes.
Here you've got what I call a dead man among dead people.
He is
dead. He is living among the dead.
Right.
And I think it's interesting that it speaks about this, how just what kind of shape this man is in, this demon-possessed man. He's clearly a strong person. Yeah. They cannot bind him.
Right.
He's able to break the chains, but he's in torment. He is tormenting himself.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't, and Doug was talking about this week, is that we're not familiar with this. You know, I've never had any personal experience with a demon-possessed person. Right. I don't know if you have.
No, I have not. Not anything that would be similar to what we encounter here, right?
But, you know, again, back to this idea that you mentioned earlier in the context of what's happening. Mm-hmm. He's loaded these guys in the boat. He says, "We're going to go to the other side." Well, yeah. The other side was Gentile area. It was the Decapolis.
Yes.
And I'm sure I was teaching from Acts chapter 7 today, excuse me, Acts chapter 8, about the Samaritans. And remember, you know, the disciples didn't want to be around the Samaritans.
Correct.
And it's kind of like for them going to Decapolis, kind of like, what are we going over there for?
Yeah.
You know, it makes it pretty clear. They get to the other side, Jesus gets out of the boat, and immediately this demon-possessed man falls down at his feet.
Right.
Or runs up and falls. You hear the story, you see the story, and then at the end, Jesus gets back in the boat.
Yeah.
He went all the way across, through the storm, with all these guys, just to heal this man. Just to cast this demon out.
Yep. He absolutely did. And that's amazing. It was part of his validation, which these miracles do, validate him as the Son of God. We hear the demon confess the same thing and say, you know, the Son of God. So the demon knows who he is. And I read this by a commentator, Brad, which said, you know, if you could get the full name of the demon inside of a person, then you had some power, or at least that was what the rabbis and others thought if they were going to cast out the demon. So the demon is perhaps saying, "Hey, I know who you are," so that he can demonstrate, "Hey, I know who you are," right? And Jesus isn't going to play that game, but he still asks him, "Well, who are you?" And legion. And so this is not a simple little small, you know, spirit that's going to come out. This is a notable, like you said, satanic saving because of the reaction to all the herd, the swine. How many of them were affected by casting out this legion of demons, implying multiple demons, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's now some other Gospels mention two men, but Mark zeroes in on this one man. And I think when you look at, we're not that familiar with demon possessions. And, you know, kind of this is before drugs. Like you said, there weren't doctors in this time period. Mm-hmm. We didn't have homes that we would put a person like this in. But in verse 5, it talks about night and day, no sleep. It's completely restless.
Right.
He's
right.
Crying out. He is tormented. He's cutting himself with stones. He wants to die.
Yeah.
It is, a living hell. He's hopeless.
Yeah. And society's response to this is get away from us, mm-hmm. go to these tombs because the living don't live among the tombs.
Yeah.
Obviously the Jews wouldn't because they'd be unclean all the time, but they're sequestering this guy away. Just get him away. That's how we're going to deal with him. And his real underlying need is a spiritual need. It's not a physical need. He doesn't need to be chained. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to be, you know, anything else. It's a spiritual need, and that's what Jesus zeroes in on.
Yeah. I think there's kind of the four ideas is what did Satan bring to this man? And he brings nakedness. He brings homelessness.
Yeah.
He brings uncontrollable violence. He brings suicidal thoughts and ideas.
Yes.
And you look at our culture today, and it's no different today.
And he brings alienation from anybody else. There's no community with people or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we go back to John 10:10. The first part of it anyhow is steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan's known for.
Yeah, yeah. And we're looking at this idea of light. So we know in this first little section here what darkness reveals, what Satan brings. And when it says, yeah, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we're told to be alert. Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. This man is being devoured, yes, literally. Yes. And anyway, we're going to take a quick break. If you want to join us this afternoon, call us at 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. Email me at brad@swatradio.com if you have a question you want me to bring up. Glad to do it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The worlds of politics and media are merging today as the Salem Media Group, parent company of SRN News, announces that U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson will appear on a new weekly broadcast titled This Week on the Hill. The program will be co-sponsored by Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council in Washington. Tom Tradup, our vice president of news, will serve as executive director.
Under our Constitution, as Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson is just two heartbeats in the line of succession to become President of the United States. We're honored to have Speaker Johnson joining us at Salem to regularly share his views and perspective on the critical issues facing America.
The in-depth look at decision-making in Congress will premiere nationally on Saturday, April 13th. Also at SRNNews.com, America's employers delivered another outpouring of jobs in March.
Employers added 303,000 workers to their payrolls. Last month's job growth was up from a revised 270,000 in February and well above the 200,000 economists had forecast. The increase reflected the economy's ability to withstand the pressure of high borrowing costs resulting from the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. With the nation's consumers continuing to spend, many employers have kept hiring to meet steady customer demand. The unemployment rate dipped to 3.8% from 3.9% in February. No injuries and no damage after a 4.8 magnitude earthquake shook the northeast U.S. this morning. People in New York City felt the quake, as did those in Baltimore, Philadelphia, and Connecticut. On Wall Street, the Dow was ahead 357 points, the NASDAQ adding 234. This is SRN News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
There's major delays because of a multi-vehicle crash on the East Beltway 295 northbound at Beach Boulevard, blocking the left lane. Also, there's another accident on the East Beltway 295 northbound at St. John's Bluff Road. And there's congestion on I-95 northbound approaching the Fuller Warren Bridge. Clear tonight, low 48. Saturday, sunny, high 69. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
I pull, go back and forth, finding myself pounding on a locked door. I try to make it out alone without your help, but I know I never win this war. I can never be, never be free without you. I can never be, never be me without you.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with my good friend Brian Andrews in studio with me this Friday afternoon, April 5th. Glad you tuned in. If you want to call, again, we always love to take calls just to kind of hear what you're thinking out there. 844-777-7928. 844-777-SWAT. That is our last day of the week as we put a bow on this particular text in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. We're looking at... in this segment, we'll look at the life-giving power of the light. We see what darkness brings, what Satan brings, and it's death, it's chaos, it's torment, yeah. It's hopelessness.
Right.
And yet we begin to see Jesus, he arrives, and he gets confronted in verse 6 by this guy, by this demon-possessed guy. He says... And it says that he saw Jesus from afar.
Right.
You know, I have this picture, you know, and we've been on that. We've been on the Sea of Galilee.
Yes.
Jesus shows up. He gets out of the boat and immediately, you know, was this guy just in the area? Did he, you know, did he somehow know that Jesus was going to be coming? We don't know that really, you know, but he's right there. He sees him from afar. He runs, and it says he fell down at his feet.
Right.
It's the proskuneo is that term where he bowed out of respect and submission. You've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And the man didn't know Jesus, but the demon did. Right. I think what's interesting. And demons can't keep quiet in the presence of Jesus. Jesus did what no chain or human could do. When you think about this man, right. We know early right. on he could not, I mean, he could break the chains.
Yes.
Nobody could bind him. He's living among the dead.
Yeah.
As you said, kind of he's alienated, he's isolated, and Jesus shows up.
Yes. I think of all the physical wounds on him, the hurt, the, you know, chastising he's had all of his life. You know, we have to assume, we don't know for sure, right? But a majority of his life, he's had this condition, and he is he's a pariah, a social outcast for sure. But he is tormented night and day, day and night, you know, with this demon within him. So what we can take from this is, demon possession is real. It is real. We have to be careful how we quickly we use this. But it's once again acknowledgement that we are dealing every day with spiritual warfare. Now, you're either fighting in the spiritual warfare, swinging the sword, which is God's word, as we know, or it's getting done to you, mm-hmm. where people you love or yourself or whatever are being harmed by Satan unknowingly, sometimes knowingly. And so we have to be on the offense, and God's words are the best way to fight this.
Amen. Amen. Verse 7, interesting, says, "And crying out with a loud voice, he said, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?'" What have you to do with me? literally, what business do we have with each other? And you know, why are we here? Demons are never confronted directly in the Old Testament. I think it's interesting. Why now? You know, why are they confronted now? And the demons know the truth. They know their destiny, but not the timing. And here Jesus shows up, and this demon is probably thinking, is now the time? You know, he's confronted right there. And, you know, again, the demons know what their destiny is. They just don't know when it's going to happen.
Correct. And they've had, seemingly to them, full reign. Of course, it's all under God's control and sovereignty, but they've had no spiritual interaction or interference, you know, from religious Jewish leaders. They wouldn't have crossed the Jordan or crossed this side to intervene. They've been, they've just been, you know, exercising their stronghold.
I think it says they begged him, don't torment us. Don't torment us. A parallel passage, Matthew 8, 21, 29. Have you come to torment us before the time? They know what's coming.
They do.
And, you know, this idea that Jesus literally crosses the sea for this one demon-possessed man. And, of course, we know this plays out. This isn't just one instance. You see the ripple effect of this man's life years later in this particular area. But in verse 8, it says, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. You know, interesting, having a demon is mentioned 16 times in the scriptures, being demonized 14 times in the Bible. They both mean a demon takes over a person's body. And as I mentioned earlier, I've never personally seen that, not that I'm aware of. But Jesus, as we've said, has authority over the storms, and now he has authority over the demon. He has authority over all powers. And anyway, I think it's demonstrated in this particular text. He asks the guy, what is your name? In verse 9, my name is Legion, for we are many. You know, when you think about Legion, what do you think of, Brian?
I think of the Roman term, you know, and a centurion has 100, you know, soldiers underneath him. And a Legion, I believe, is 1,000, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's the way I understood it.
Pass that pop quiz.
Of course, it says Legion is, it's not a name, but it's a military term, 4,000 to 6,000 men. Legion means, this was fascinating, and I was sharing this with Vicky when we were talking about, number one, you know, and you played it out beautifully in the context of this particular passage where Jesus crosses the river, crosses the sea, storm comes up. He's got power over the storm. And then with this legion, that term legion means conquest. Death and destruction, slavery, and you know, it's here. You know, the devil, Satan, has got control over this man, and to everybody else, he's out of control, and naturally, he is out of total control. But just with a word, Jesus can cast out this demon out of this man. You know, when possessed, people are enslaved to the domain of darkness. I was 1 Peter 2:9. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, that you might proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. It's that dominion of darkness. This guy's no different than any of us. We, you know, without Christ, we are in darkness. And Jesus is the light. And I think verse 10 says that they begged him not to send them out of the country. I was asking Doug what his view on this particular. Why would they beg him not to send them out of the country? Probably because they were very, very lucrative. Things were going quite well for the for these evil that's going on in the Decapolis. And it's kind of like, don't send us out of here. We want to stay here. We're having a lot of impact here.
Correct. We have a successful evil ministry going on.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. I was thinking about America today, you know, in our in our culture.
Sure.
Satan's perfectly happy here, you know.
He is. Absolutely.
I've said this often that, you know, we're not being silenced, at least not yet, but the church has silenced itself. Mm-hmm. The enemy is in, you know, full throttle at this point, at least here in America.
Certainly symptoms of it that we can see, right?
Yeah. Luke 8:31 says, "Don't throw us into the abyss, the holding area for hell." Demons, I think it's interesting that, what do they ask? A demon has to possess something.
Yes.
It's not just sit on a shelf somewhere or sit, you know, out there. It has to, you know, possess somebody. It's possessed this man.
Right.
And, you know, they are literally asking, "Hey, don't send us out of the country. Let us stay here." And then it's, "Well, send us into the pigs over here."
And, you know, that's interesting. You know, they ask and Jesus grants their wish. They continue to defer to Jesus, knowing he has the power, right? And I wonder if they were thinking, "Hey, if we go into these pigs, it will disrupt the whole business model. Everybody will get upset, and then they'll tell Jesus to leave, and then we'll have things will settle down again, right?" And Jesus complies, knowing fully well the consequences, right? And then there's a worldly response, right? A dark response, as we'll see in a minute.
Yeah, I mean it's really amazing. Just a note here, only one thing Satan fears, and that's Jesus. Satan can only do what God allows him to do.
Yes.
And these demons come out of man and go into the pig. In fact, a great herd of pigs, 2,000 pigs.
Right.
Can you imagine? I mean.
No. What a display.
Oh, yeah. And what a picture of the Decapolis. I mean, the Jews didn't eat pigs.
No,
you know,
correct.
They were a disgusting animal.
Yeah.
I quite frankly love bacon.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but,
me too.
I mean, these were their animals to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And these demons come out of that man and into the pigs and down the hill and into the sea. Anyway, a lot there. Glad you tuned in. We're going to take one more break. Call us at 844-777-7928. 844-777-7928. Join us. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth. 91 FM. The truth.
Brother, let me be your shelter.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, along with my good friend Brian Andrews here on this Friday afternoon. Glad you tuned in. If you want to call in during this last segment, 844-777-7928, 844-777-7928. Email me at brad@swatradio.com. If you have any questions or comments, love to hear from you. And we're looking at Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And we're talking about darkness. We're talking about light. We're looking at the story of this demon-possessed man, and where it says in verse 11, now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, verse 12, and they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs. So they've already asked him, hey, don't send us out of the country.
Right.
The demons are saying, hey, don't send us out of the country. The demons want something to possess. They have to possess something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's going to call him out of this man, and he's going to send us. And it says, send us to the pigs. Let us enter them. In verse 13, I love this. So he gave them permission. This just tells you who's in control here.
Yeah.
So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea.
Now, have you ever known pigs to run into the ocean before?
No. I don't know that I've ever seen a pig run.
Yeah, correct.
I've seen a hog run.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that's an unnatural event. Would you agree?
I agree. Totally.
What did that look like? 2,000 of them storming down there. What a graphic visual of the impact here. Mm-hmm. And think about what came out of that man. So now you have a sense that, hey, maybe there are legions, as we pointed out, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 6,000, you know, men in an army unit. But here we've got 2,000 pigs. There could have been one demon for each pig.
Exactly. But
all that was in that one man tormenting him, and they came out.
Yeah, exactly. As you and I were talking about on the break, what a visual that must have been.
Sure.
In fact, what a visual it was for the herdsmen. Look at verse 14. It says, the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened.
Absolutely. I think the herdsmen probably feared because they'd lost so much, you know, market capital, if you will, of the pigs.
Totally.
And they were now responsible for losing 2,000 pigs under their watch.
Yeah, I mean, they had to be that herdsman had to be thinking, what just happened here?
And I'm going to be blamed. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Verse 15 says, and they came to Jesus. and I'm assuming that's the people that came to Jesus who had been heard, had either seen or heard this story. And they saw the demon-possessed man.
Yeah.
The one who had the legions sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. I have that highlighted. He's in his right mind.
Yes.
And they were afraid. Now, isn't that interesting? Yeah. They were afraid when he was out of his mind.
Yes.
And they're afraid when he's in his mind.
Yes.
When he's in his right mind.
They thought they'd fashioned a way to treat it and cope with it when he was out of his mind. But now they have no way of understanding, how do we do this? Especially if Jesus stays among us. Oh my gosh, what is going on here?
Yeah. Well, this kind of gets to the point we were talking about early on. We can read through a text like this and just go, oh yeah, I've heard that story. Uh-huh. I'm familiar with that story.
Yeah.
But put yourself there. Yes. As you just said a minute ago, imagine these 2,000 pigs on a hillside.
Right.
One, you know, this one man puts off these demons, enter the pigs. Pigs go down the slope, drown in the sea. Herdsman is probably freaking out.
Yeah, yeah.
So much so that he's like, oh my word, what just happened? He goes and tells everybody he sees. Everybody comes around, and they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man.
Yeah.
The one who had the legion sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. It says in verse 16, and those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region.
Mm-hmm.
I was sharing with the group this morning at the Jacksonville Business Fellowship. You know, so often we hear the gospel. We see the power of the gospel. We we identify with the light of Christ.
Yeah.
And so often we think the gospel's a no-brainer. Yeah. You know, it. How do you not get this? But even in saying that, you realize, listen, a light didn't go on in my head and I just got the gospel.
True. Yeah.
It is by the sovereignty of God that he opened my eyes. He opened my ears. He brought my stony, dead heart to life. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happened here. And so much so that they don't want to have anything to do with Jesus.
Yeah.
They are hardened.
Yeah.
And this is such a radical event that takes place right in front of them.
And they've made a choice. And ultimately, everybody's making a choice, whether they know it or not, right, about Jesus.
Yeah.
Sometimes Jesus is viewed as a, quote, inconvenient truth, right? Like, hey, I know you are who you are, but it's inconvenient to my life right mm-hmm. now, right? Mm-hmm. And so we don't respond. And earlier, the parable about preparing the soils, right? We're responsible for preparing our heart to receive what God has for us and the gift of faith and exercising that. So they don't really want to know more about Jesus. It doesn't tell us that they even said, thank you for saving this man. He means something to somebody. They are just mortified at the supernatural event that they've never heard about. And that got to them because of the money and financial and economic consequences, probably. It was just like, hey, the best thing we can do is let us go back to what we know, which is, you know, we were better off when we didn't know you, Jesus.
Yeah, you've disrupted right. our life. And the reality is, that's what he wants. He wants to disrupt our life.
Oh, yeah.
And how are we going to respond to Jesus?
Yeah, Jesus is not safe in that we can't control him, right?
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
And praise God,
yeah.
Right?
Amen.
I came across this this passage in Isaiah. I used it this morning. It impacted me. Isaiah 8, verse 14, it says, Thought I had my ringer off. Isaiah 8, verse 14, he, being the Lord, will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. As many shall stumble on it, they shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. You know, the gospel is a stumbling block.
Yes.
Jesus shows up. He's a stumbling block to these people in the Decapolis.
Yeah.
They've got the status quo, if you will. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we've got a demon possessed man who lives over there in the tombs.
Yeah.
But we can manage that.
Right.
You know, and when we talk about surrendering your life to Christ, it's not walking an aisle, it's not being baptized, it's not joining a church, it's not tithing. It's a complete surrender. It's a complete dying to yourself.
Yes.
Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Mm-hmm. It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And what is our response going to be to Jesus? Mm-hmm. Now, I think what's interesting, just as we kind of close up our text for today, it says, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Verse 18, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him. This is the demon-possessed man who's no longer demon-possessed.
Right.
In fact, he's in his right mind. Begged him that he might be with him. And I think this is fascinating. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled.
Yes. Amen.
I mean, that's a lesson in itself right there.
Yeah, yeah. We may think we want to stay at the high point with Jesus, especially after retreats and whatnot, but no, we got to get back in there and do what he can't do as one person. We've got to get out there and minister to other people. So he just said, basically, you're a missionary, this is your field, and I just want you to stick to what, just tell the story. we can't argue about what's occurred out there. So we saw Jesus over the natural, over the lake. Now he's reigning over the supernatural again in a very powerful, vivid that rocked 10 cities. And I would love to see the history book of one of those cities and how they record this event. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah. And we're going to see even in the future as we continue in our study of what happens in Decapolis and the movement that happens. Mm-hmm. You know, the apostles didn't go there.
Yeah.
This one guy has such an impact in that city. And, you know, all he's told to do is go tell people